Message and data rates may apply. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. With a struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan, you pick your deductible, you even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. To all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. For your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify, visit endurancewarranty.com. Endurancewarranty.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You can take the boy out of Brooklyn. Can't always take Brooklyn out of the boy. I have the same instincts that I've had. They don't go away.
I never lost an argument in the gas business. You got to learn to outsmart people. You got to be able to read the room. I tried to learn the personality, the character of the person I was up against. There's sometimes you could be in a meeting and you could be the smartest guy in the room and you don't want to let anybody know that. Let everybody talk. Let everybody think they're smarter than you. But you really know what's going on. There's other times when you're in the room, you could be the least smartest guy in the room, but you got to make them think that you're smarter than them. And when you can master that art, you'll do pretty good. And you know, whatever I did in my old life, I was able to apply that to business in life now. Money buys a lot of loyalty in business. You know, people don't want to disrupt that.
People ask me all the time, they say, do you miss the money? Do you miss the power and all of that? You know, to a degree. I have my own jet plane. I had a Lear 25A. I had a Bell helicopter. I had a couple of big automobile agencies that I owned, so I drove whatever car I want, and, you know, basically had homes all over the country. So, yeah, that's nice. But you know what I really miss? I miss the camaraderie that we had with the guys. You know, what was so attractive to me about that life is, hey, when you come in, it's a brotherhood. Don't ever worry about your wife, your daughter, your sister. We got their backs wherever you go.
It was just a way of doing good business at the end
of
the day.
Yes, yes.
Michael, what would have happened if you became an entrepreneur?
Well, I like to think I would have been successful. Look, I had a lot of legitimate businesses also. I bought a Mazda agency when you couldn't give a Mazda away.
I remember that. I remember reading
because
that.
And I built that into the biggest agency on Long Island as far as Mazda was concerned. When you're in business, I don't think it's a good thing to micromanage because nobody can do everything good. Do what you do best and delegate the rest. And then, you know, watch out for these people. Make sure you get the most out of them. I'm not the smartest business guy around because there's a lot of things in business I don't enjoy doing. But there were certain talents that I had that worked well for me.
Do you miss the mob lifestyle?
You know, I'd be lying if I say I didn't at times, but you know, people ask me all the time, they say, do you miss the money? Do you miss the power and all of that? You know, to a degree. I mean, look, it's great when you have anything you can want at your disposal because you got enough money to take care of it. I had my own jet plane. I had a Lear 25A. I had a Bell helicopter. I had a couple of big automobile agencies that I owned, so I drove whatever car I want and, you know, basically had homes all over the country. So, yeah, that's nice. But you know what I really miss? I miss the camaraderie that we had with the guys. You know, what was so attractive to me about that life is, hey, when you come in, it's a brotherhood. Don't ever worry about your wife, your daughter, your sister. We got their backs wherever you go. You know, if somebody hurts you, we got somebody to back you up. That's very powerful, very, very powerful. And I miss that kind of camaraderie that I had. So, you know, I also nice, you know, going into the back room. I want to tell you this, for those of you that saw Goodfellas, Henry Hill, he never walked in through the back kitchen of the Copacabana, I can tell you that now. But I did many times, first with my dad and then later on with myself. You know, it's nice to go in and get a ringside table and be treated that way. So to say I didn't miss it, you know, I'd be lying.
How do you learn the art of the sit-down? Because that's part politics, like part journalism. Sounds like some of the interviews I've had when I was running to be mayor. Like they're trying to trip you up. You say the wrong one thing, that's the thing that'll kill you. Like how do you learn how to negotiate that?
A lot of it is experience. You know, you make mistakes in the beginning, but I was fortunate. I had my dad who schooled me well and, you know, who taught me basically how to conduct myself in these things. And you know, one thing, Brian, the major thing my dad taught me that has worked for me my entire life, and in a serious way, I'll get into it, is be a good listener. Don't run your mouth. Don't be the first to, you know, present you. Just be a good listener. Let the other guy make a mistake. Think, you know, hard. Be prepared going in. And for me, I became a major target of law enforcement. Major target. They never got me on tape saying anything wrong. Never. There was one undercover operation they had me on. They had 83 tape recordings on me. It was this whole thing with Don King and Al Sharpton. They couldn't use one of them because I never made a mistake on the tape because I was always listening. I was careful how I spoke. And I credit my father and listening to him, you know, okay, I understand it, Dad, you know, so you got to be careful who you talk to. Same thing in a sit down. Let the guy present himself. You know, always say that.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Two, you go into a meeting, sometimes you're the smartest guy in the room, but you don't want anybody to know it. Let them think you're a dummy, you don't know anything. And they're yapping away, right? It's a big advantage. There's other times when you're not the smartest guy in the room. But if you keep your mouth shut, nobody knows that. They don't know it. So you let them talk, commit themselves. By the time they're finished, then you can become the smartest guy in the room because they told you everything, you know. Here's the thing. It's all about the media. It's all about entertainment. I mean, look, when The Godfather came out, guys on the street were acting different because it elevated the persona of guys on the street. In a big way, I'm telling you, I witnessed it, I watched it. All of these movies, I speak to young kids. Michael, come on, man. You know, you had the cars, you had the money, you had all the women, you had people catering to you all the time. I said, I know. That was Goodfellas, right? Did you watch the second half of the movie? Who got killed? Who lost everything? Who went to jail? They don't see that. They only see the money, the power, and that's an aphrodisiac to people. Brian, when I first started speaking, I get out of jail. I was pretty well known in New York. We had a hot name. Maybe on the West Coast. Florida, yes, because where I got indicted there too. In the Midwest, Texas, nobody knew who I was. They put on a marquee, the mob guy is going to be there, standing room only. People are interested in the lifestyle. It's all the media, Hollywood, entertainment, the news. I mean, John Gotti, come on. You know, how many people wanted to be John Gotti? How many people wanted to be Michael Corleone, Vito Corleone? It's the media.
Because they see the upside, but they don't see what comes.
They don't see the, and they don't pay attention to it.
You actually had a lot of things going on with, you had stuff going on with dealerships, you own all these different things with cars.
Patrick, I bought a Mazda agency when you couldn't give a Mazda away.
I remember reading
because
that.
Because the Wankel engines were exploding, you couldn't give one away. And I built that into the biggest agency on Long Island, as far as Mazda was concerned. And it was a lot of work, and I had to do things differently, but I was able to build it. I think I had a head for business, I had a knack for it. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not the smartest business guy around because there's a lot of things in business I don't enjoy doing. But there were certain talents that I had that worked well for me. And I always tell people this, when you're in business, I don't think it's a good thing to micromanage because nobody can do everything good. But here's the deal, do what you do best and delegate the rest. And then be a good, you know, watcher of these people. Make sure you get the most out of them. That's how you do it. Money buys a lot of loyalty in business. You know, people don't want to disrupt that. And it's true on the street. I think it's true in real life too. You know, in that world, everything is very technical. For instance, rules of a sit down. Let's make you and I are made guys. We're having an argument. You're lying through your teeth. Lying, every other word is a lie. If I call you a liar, I lose the argument automatically. If I get upset with you and lose my temper, I lose the argument automatically. You got to know how to keep your mouth shut. You got to be able to outsmart that person, right? And don't let him make you fall into a trap. Because a lot of times, if an old timer was wrong, he's trying to get you into a trap. So on technicalities, you lose.
I learned so many things. I mean, as far as navigating that life, you know, my dad taught me, you know, always be, you know, don't ever be quick to judge somebody. Don't ever be quick to, you know, condemn somebody. He told me how to be a good listener. You know, he taught me, he said to me, Michael, and this was very valuable in that life, he said, if you and I committed a crime, we did it together, he said, 1 minute after we commit the crime, if you talk to me about it, I'm going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, there's no reason to ever repeat anything that you did the wrong way. You know, he said, look at every telephone as a cop. Don't speak on the phone. You know, be careful. So he taught me so many things that they seem like little things, but they were major in that life. You know, I never aspired to be a mob guy. That wasn't what I wanted. I mean, I always say, you know, I was going to be a doctor. I mean, I had a real interest in that. I was an athlete. But, you know, I grew up with my father, who was a very high-profile guy in the 60s. And I love my dad very much. And he went through several trials in the 60s until finally he got convicted on a major federal case and sentenced to 50 years in prison. And, you know, I needed to help him out because he said to me, Mike, I'm framed. You know, they said that he ordered a series of bank robberies throughout the country. He said, Mike, I'm not a bank robber. It's not true. The government framed me. And I believed him. And he saw my involvement in his life as a way to help him out. So he proposed me for membership. It's not something that I would have done anything he wanted me to do. It's okay, Dad, you want me to become a member, I'll become a member. It's not like, oh, I wanted it. This is what he wanted for me. But once I got in, I said, hey, I'm gonna be the best possible mob guy I can be. And I tried to use the life as best I could to benefit me in business. And that's how I looked at it. You know, so things like that in the street are very valuable. And I took those things with me, you know, in my life today, you know. I try to give people respect. You know, it doesn't matter who they are. Another thing my dad taught me, Brian, he said, always be respectful to the little guy. Now, he didn't mean the little guy to be offensive. He just meant, you know, give respect to the little guy, the waiter, take good care of him, the guy at a valet parker, take care of him.
Does that apply to the real world? Look, when people are making money with you, they're happy. I mean, that's the way it is, you know, they're happy. I mean, money buys a lot of loyalty in business, you know. People don't want to disrupt that. And it's true on the street, and I think it's true in real life, too.
I had a lot of legitimate businesses going. I had two car dealerships. I had a number of restaurants that I had opened at the time. I had a leasing company. I had a production company in Southern California, in Hollywood. So I had a lot of things going. So I used some of that money to, you know, to have a legitimate operation and income. Let me tell you one thing about, you know, mob guys. They're pretty resourceful. You know, I'm asked all the time, you know, is the mob still existed in existence? The answer is yes. It's not the same as it was during my time, but I wouldn't count these guys out. They're not going away in my lifetime, that's for sure.
You know, in that world, everything is very technical. They make a mountain out of a molehill. Well, in my world, you can pay serious consequences. You can't be disrespectful in that life, Patrick. You know, two guys that actually took the oath. You can never disrespect one another, never. I mean, you know, whatever.
Two made guys could never disrespect.
Never disrespect.
So what does disrespect mean?
Calling a guy a name, calling him a liar, raising your voice to him.
Really?
Yeah.
A made guy cannot do a made guy.
No. That's a major, because the life allegedly is built on respect. So you can never disrespect anybody. You can never outwardly do it. Like, I'll be honest with you. I had a meeting with another made guy once, and he's trying to get involved in the gas business, and I'm trying to keep him out. He was a guy from my own family, but he was trying to make a deal with Gotti to bring them into the business, and I didn't want him. So I said, can I talk to you a minute? And this guy's doing life in prison right now. So we go in the other room, and we get in the other room. I called him every name in the sun. You're a liar, you're this, you're that. When we walk out, we're shaking hands, you're the best guy in the world. I wouldn't let anybody see it, because now if he told anybody I called him that, I'd call him a liar. So they had to believe me, you know what I mean? The same way they had to believe him. So he would never try to challenge them.
My father taught me something. He said, Mike, remember three things, three words that are going to take you, make you have an easy go of it with other guys. Remember to say please, thank you, and excuse me. You know, because you bump into somebody, excuse me. You know, you ask somebody, please, may I have this? You don't cut in front of people on the line. So little silly things become major things, God. So you can't throw your weight around. Now, you can't take any nonsense. But, you know, people have to understand. You may be the silent type, but don't mess with me. And I'm not going to disrespect you. Don't disrespect me, believe it or not.
Sometimes you may be the smartest person in the room, and you don't want anybody to know that. You just want to keep quiet like you don't know anything. Let them think they're smarter than you. And there's other times when you're not the smartest person in the room, but you want people to think you are. So you have to learn how to have that skill. And we had certain rules. You know, if you're a made guy and you're at a sit-down, you had to be respectful, no matter what the situation was. In other words, if I'm a made guy and I'm arguing something and I'm lying, and you know I'm lying, you can't call me a liar. If you call me a liar, you lose the argument automatically. You have to figure out a way to make people know that you're wrong, that this guy is wrong and I'm right. And the old time was very tactful at this. You know, they would try to get you into a trap, or you would just say something and you're done. It's all over. So you had to really learn how to respectfully get your point across, and you had to know the mentality of the personality of the person going in. Well, you don't defeat them. These old-timers were smart, you know, they were cagey. I had so many of these because it was like every day in my life when I was in the gas business, I had somebody trying to take over, somebody trying to get in. Because, you know, in New York, there's a lot of us, and we were constantly engaging with one another on different matters. And I had a big crew, so the guys in my crew got in trouble. I had to sit down with other people. It was constant, the way of business. So you learn how to carry yourself there. And it really helped me in my negotiation skills in business. It really helped, because going in, I would figure out what I wanted, what I would settle for, and I would keep, you know, I learned one thing. It's always great to let the other person talk. Let them talk, let them just keep talking, throw out a word that gets them a little bit and he'll talk more. And as he's talking, you can kind of figure out his mentality, his personality, what you can get out of him, what you can't get out of him. And it helped me a lot in negotiating deals later on. That life is like it's like a wheel turning around. And the guy that's on the bottom today can end up being on the top tomorrow. And so a guy that you didn't have much respect for, now you better respect him.
Got it.
So because of that, you always tried to treat people the right way. Yeah. Because you never know, you know, where that guy's going to be the next day or the next week. So I always say, I knew how to put the right people in the right place and get them and motivated them to do the work properly. My mantra always was at that time, do what you do best and delegate the rest. And that always worked for me until today. You know, there's things that I'm just not good at and I don't even try to do them. I don't even want to be bothered with it, but I'll get somebody that's going to do them
a
lot better than me.
Oh
yeah, yeah, had to. Because I got a lot of stuff thrown at me and I recognized what was good and what wasn't going to work. And that's important because you can waste your time with stuff all day long. That's what gave me the leverage to negotiate the deal that I got. When you have time to think and really analyze the way life goes, and you look back and I said, man, all these negatives turned into a positive for me. They gave me breaks that I didn't realize were happening at that time. You know, that's a big part of my faith when I talk to people. I said, you know, the misery that you're going through now might be the blessing for you later on.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.